Hello, and welcome to the Heal Your Heart, Heal Your Life podcast, a podcast where we talk all things healing from trauma, how we healed, what we healed, and how you too can heal alongside us with this podcast. So today's episode is an interesting one about how releasing and letting go of your ex is super important for pretty much calling in love in your life. When we're really attached to our ex-partner, or even our current partner, and we know they're not right for us, and we know that they're not healthy, and it's a bit of a toxic relationship, and there's constant kind of arguments going on there, but we're still really attached to it, we can get really stuck in this place. So I've channeled a few things about this, and I wanted to come on here and share this with the world because I feel like this is something a lot of people struggle with. I've been through this myself, where I've had a relationship that I knew wasn't right for me, but I continued on in it anyway, because there was a secondary payoff for it that I didn't realize at the time. So for me, I was going through a really rough place in my life during that moment, and I was not very emotionally stable, and I felt like being in a relationship was my key to emotional stability because that person helped me. Whenever I felt sad, I would go to them. Whenever I felt bored, I would go to them. Whenever I felt angry, I would go to them, and they would support me with that and give me the support that I would need. But in that, I found that I forgot how to support myself with those things, or maybe I hadn't learned it at all when I was in that relationship. And so that kind of led to this dependence or this reliance on them to make me feel better. You're here to make me feel better. And then when I realized that this relationship wasn't serving me anymore, and that there was too many irreconcilable differences for us to really continue long term, it was that, oh no, what am I going to do when I get sad or upset because this person has been helping me? Was that really scared me to be able to let go. And so I resisted that and I stayed in that relationship for another few months. And I didn't realize it at the time, but this person had become my coping strategy. And this is where we get into trouble, I think, with attaching to our exes, is when someone becomes a coping mechanism for us and our own pain. And I think we've grown up in this world of Disney where it's all about, you know, Prince Charming is going to come and sweep you off your feet and save the day and, you know, pull you out of a shitty situation or help you and like heal you in other ways. And we buy into that and we fall for that as well. And we essentially become addicted to relationships based off that premise that, you know, if I'm not in a relationship, how am I going to be happy? Because what if something bad happens and, you know, then I have to deal with it? Whereas if I'm with someone, if I've got that support, then they are there for me 24/7. And like, and then I have someone there and I'll always be able to feel better about myself. But essentially, it can become love can become an addiction because it is so addictive. Who doesn't love love? Being in love, being adored, being supported. It is something that we can use as a crutch sometimes for our own emotions, just as anyone would use alcohol or drugs when they're feeling really depressed and, you know, can't handle their emotions, turning to alcohol and drugs to kind of obliviate their mind so that they're just not having to feel those things anymore. We can also use relationships in the same way. And you'll see this in a lot of people who jump from relationship to relationship to relationship, never actually having time to themselves in the middle. It's because they're utilizing that relationship for support, and therefore they feel like they can't do it on their own when they are single, and they will go out and find someone to be in a relationship with. But that's not necessarily a healthy relationship, is my point. And I think there's also this is called codependency as well. So codependency is all about when we, you know, meet someone that we really like and we really admire, and then we enmesh ourselves into their energy and their opinions of things. So when we're quiet and we don't know how to really stand up for ourselves, it can be really, you know, handy to have someone who can make hard decisions and can kind of guide us or direct us in the ways we need to go when we're a bit anxious or we're not sure. We don't trust ourselves enough to make those calls. And so being in a relationship is a really great way to be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to take a step back and allow you to make all the decisions. And I'm going to enmesh with you and believe that that is the right decision that you're making, even if there's a part of me going, this isn't for us, this isn't for me. But I'm going to squash that down because I don't want to have conflict with the person I'm enmeshed with, because that means I either have to give up the addiction to the love and the support if they, like, you know, arc up when I say something that they disagree with, and then it becomes a huge conflict. I'm just going to go with what they say. You know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's just easier this way. You know, I hate conflict. I don't want to handle that. I don't want to be put in a position where I'm abandoned by this person who I've put all my eggs into their basket. So I'm going to just allow them to kind of take over. A good way to think about this is, say, for example, you're someone who has all these hopes and dreams of going overseas and like living there for a couple of years, and you meet someone and you settle down with them and they don't want to do that. They're like, no, what's the point of moving overseas? You know, how about we set up our life here instead? You know, we need a house. We need, you know, a place to live. We need a stable base. And then, you know, maybe down the track we can do that. Maybe in like 10, 20 years or something, we can do that. And you go, you don't want to cause conflict. So even though you really want to travel and you always had that as a plan for next year or whatever it is, you just go, oh, you know, they've got a good point. Like a stable base is probably good. I probably don't need to worry too much about missing out because they've said we can go in 10 or 20 years. So that should be fine. Like it'll all work itself out. And you just go with the flow of it. When really what you've done in that situation is you've backed down on your own wants and needs in order to not only appease the other person, but keep the peace. And this is the way I see codependency, as a reliance on someone else for what they can give you, for the emotional support they can give you, but also a dependence on their decision-making and allowing yourself to enmesh with their energy. And oftentimes we don't even know if we're doing this. This is a subconscious thing. And it's not until you leave the relationship and maybe you're really struggling to let go and maybe you've gotten back with them four times and you keep breaking up again because, you know, you get back with them and things are all good and it's honeymoon phase and, you know, everything's great. And then the minute an old problem rears its head again like it used to, you again have to make that decision. Do I just let it go and allow this behavior or whatever to continue, or for the sake of the peace of the relationship? Or do I actually stand up about myself and what I need and say something about this, which might cause another conflict, which might cause a breakup? So codependency can have a real big impact. This can also be very much related to the psychological theory of attachment styles. There was a psychologist back in the day who noticed that there were four different attachment styles when it came to significant other or mother and child relating, which we find follows us through to our relationships in adulthood. So if you have an anxious attachment style, that means that you're anxious if that person leaves and you're constantly on edge and trying to get them to stay. Like you have this fear of abandonment that you've experienced in the past, most likely, and you're going to be doing your utmost in this relationship to make sure they stay. And that will probably lead to you stepping back and not speaking your truth or speaking your feelings and needs being heard when these conflicts arise inevitably in relationships, because you're so afraid that if you do that, then, you know, the relationship will end. And also with anxious attachment, you always kind of seem to want more. You want this person to fill your cup. You're like, I really want them to, you know, remind me how great of a person I am when I've been told off by someone else, or help me with these emotional problems that I'm going through. And in a way, you're going to cling to them for that. And you're going to like want more and more and more of that, because problem is another person can never fill your cup, or external validation in general can never fill your cup, because it's always going to empty itself out again straight after. It's like you go and you ask for advice on something and you're like, what should I do? Tell me what to do. And then the next day there'll be a new problem to ask advice on again. And then you kind of build up this reliance. Whereas when we're filling our own cup and we trust and love and back our own decisions, and we're not afraid of this conflict and relationship breakdown, and we can speak up a lot easier. And then this anxious attachment oftentimes will attract someone with an avoidant attachment, which what that means is this person has grown used to, whenever they've been in pain from a love from a family member or a loved one in childhood, they've just kind of shut down and retreated, and that's been their way of dealing with things. It's easier to shut down and retreat and not be too invested, because that means that they're not going to be in as much pain when conflict inevitably occurs. And oftentimes you'll find that the anxious attachment and the avoidant attachment will magnetize to each other to be in relationships together, because you've got the dynamic of that one person clinging and wanting more and more and more, and the other person pulling back and not wanting to give too much. And that's a huge life lesson, right? So we always attract people who are going to teach us life lessons. And I guess our journey in life and my personal journey has been to work through those life lessons to the point where I can actually attract and hold a healthy relationship. But that's a podcast for another time. So having this anxious attachment style is going to lead you down the road of codependency a lot easier, because there's a lot of things in common there. You're going to try and use codependency and enmeshing with someone as a way to get them to stay and as a way to get them coming back. And then when they leave, you've had your coping mechanism ripped out, and suddenly it's like the end of the world. And you really struggle to let go and allow them to go and find your own feet again, because you've never had your own feet, right? You've never had that steady, stable base of making your own decisions and holding your own pain, that when they leave, it literally is terrible for you, because you have to somehow sit with all that pain and emotion all of a sudden, and all of that's going to pop up when someone abandons you or leaves, and it's going to be a lot, and you need to fill that with another coping strategy. You can't just tear the band-aid off and go cold turkey on something without replacing it with something else. And that is unfortunately how I ended up in my relationship. I realized that I was using this person for emotional support and I didn't really love them and it wasn't fair to them. And so I broke up with them, but it was I cried the whole breakup. The person was like, are you sure you want this? Because you're crying a lot and it seems like you still want this relationship. Why are you breaking up with me? And it was me trying to go, you know, this isn't good for both of us and I need to cut it off. But there's that anxious attachment codependent side of me that still wants it and still needs it and feels like, how am I going to find myself without this? How am I going to deal with myself without this in this like unsteady emotional state? And I ripped that coping mechanism out, and it was a struggle for the next couple months because I had nothing to fill it with. And oftentimes that's when we fill it with unhealthy behaviors, and that's when emotional eating started for me. So it's about filling it with positive things that are helpful for you, like finding your friendship circle again can be really important after a breakup, really feeling supported by like a group of people, not just one person you rely on, but also coming back to yourself and going, how can I learn to sit with my own dark times and heal and transmute them? Which I guess you're at this podcast, so you're probably halfway there already. Because being able to sit in your power once you've been able to do that is so incredibly amazing. So that experience taught me that I needed to learn how to manage my own overwhelming emotions. And that's the point where we're going to start moving away from that ex and into our new reality and our new world where potentially love can come in. And the process of that for me was, so I had to learn to stand on my own two feet and make my own decisions independently. I had to learn to deal with myself at my worst and love myself anyway through that, and know that I'm allowed to cry and lie in bed and not get out of bed for a few days if that's what I need. And that's okay. You know, it's nothing to be afraid of. And you heal that level of codependency or anxious attachment. So therefore, when you're in the next relationship, you're not terrified of losing them anymore, because you've had that moment of when you did lose them and you've recovered and you've healed from that. And it's like, I don't need a person to rely on to fix me anymore. I can fix myself. So going through this period of singledom can be so important to heal and to really sit with our own pain and our own journey and just allow us to give back to ourselves for a small period of time. Because once we've broken through that, you're unstoppable, right? In your next relationship, like, you can speak your truth because you're not afraid of, what if this person leaves me? You're like, I need my feelings and needs met and heard, because I saw how bad that went in the last relationship when I was quiet all the time and I didn't say anything, and how much resentment that built. And you can have a healthier relationship because you've broken the cycle of anxious attachment and codependency. Because when you're codependent, the scary thing is it's so easy to overlook the flaws of the other person because you're searching for that, that like love and support that is needed. You are so needing this because you're an emotional basket case or whatever it is. You need that love and support so badly that your subconscious mind is just like, well, we're just going to forget all of the terrible things this person has done to you, and we're going to only remember the good times. So if you've been broken up with, you're going to feel devastated because you're going to be remembering all the amazing times and all the times you felt loved and supported. Maybe this was the first time you've ever felt that. And of course, this person is going to seem like the most amazing person in the world because you don't have a frame of reference for a healthy relationship, right? This is the best you've ever had. And therefore, that's going to be put up on a pedestal, like, it's the greatest thing ever. And I've lost that now. And what have I done? And, you know, I shouldn't have done all these things. I shouldn't have stood up for myself because it just led to this breakup, and I really want them back, and begging for them to come back and hoping that they message you and sitting by the phone and all that clinging, anxious attachment behavior. We forget of when we were in that relationship that there were also negative parts, and that there were reasons that we felt like we needed to speak up and say something, and that maybe we were being hurt by this person who maybe had an avoidant attachment style and would push us away constantly and never let us in, and never be super intimate and emotionally intimate with us, I suppose. Because this, by letting them go, by letting go of our ex, is literally like a detox from a drug. Like, if we liken it to that, it can be really hard to do. And there's going to be that little part of you that goes, oh, maybe if I just go back and hang out with those people at that party, because I know they do that drug again, maybe I'll run into them again for a small period, and maybe I'll get a tiny, tiny amount of that drug. And there's always a temptation to go back when you're in contact with that person. So still being in contact with them, everyone wants to do that after they break up with an ex and you've got that, you want to get back together. You still want to talk to them. You still want to be a part of their life and be there in case they decide on a whim that they want to get back with you. But sometimes cutting them off altogether can be the best thing you can do. Because when they're not in your face or in your pocket, you can really focus on your self-healing and working on sitting with your pain by yourself. Whereas when they're there in the background 24/7, you're still going to fixate on them. You're still going to want to get back with them. You're still going to be like, oh my God, he said this and did this. And what does that mean? Does that mean this? And I'm taking it as this way. And oh, he slept with me again. Like, we're going to get back together. Da da da. When really it could just be that person being avoidant and just being like, I'm just going to use them as a fuck buddy now because, you know, our relationship didn't work out. She'll understand that, right? And then this is where we get into further conflict. But on the other side of that really hard work around sitting with yourself and cutting this person off completely and finding a new coping strategy and loving yourself enough to sit with your pain, even when it's hard, once you get through the fire of that, the other side of that is beautiful, right? You build a life for yourself that you love, right? You fill it with amazing hobbies and things you can do on weekends instead of going and seeing a partner. And you build a life that you love. You learn how to transmute the things that you're going through, the pain and the emotional stuff, and you get stronger from that. You learn the lessons of that and you heal and you become a whole new version of yourself. And once you are this version of yourself who's built up this amazing life for yourself, I got to the point personally where I was like, you know what? I don't need a partner to make me happy. I'm making myself happy. This life is already good, like fantastic, the way I've put it. But if a partner comes along that enhances that and makes me happier on top of this current level of stable happiness, then great, I'll let them in. But if it's someone who isn't that great and is going to drag me down with them, like an avoidant person, when I need someone who is more emotionally available, I'm going to say no, because, you know, I'm happy with where I'm at myself at the moment. Once we become happy with where we're at by ourselves and we almost detach from the idea of having to have a relationship. So for me, it was like, you know what? Like, obviously I don't want this, but if I am single forever, I'll be okay with that. I can live with that. I will survive because I've gotten through the hard times. I know I can do it again. And I love myself enough to, you know, deal with whatever comes with being single for the rest of my life. And if it's that or picking a shitty relationship where I'm going to be unhappy, where someone's going to be hurting me and bringing me down this whole time, I'm going to pick that. I'm going to pick myself. And it is in this energy and this mindset that you find a divine partner or a soulmate or whatever you want to call it. Because it's when you're doing your own thing, you're happy within yourself, you love yourself, your vibration raises. And that's when higher quality partners come to you. You don't depend on them. You don't rely on them. You don't need them anymore. And they can feel that. And maybe they've done their own work around that. And they don't want someone who's super needy 24/7 and needs to be fixed by them. And you attract someone in who is going to be able to work with you on your emotional stuff because they've done their own healing. But also, you don't have to rely on them. And if they leave, you will still survive because you've had that experience of surviving already the first time. You've healed that wound and you're all good to go. So I would really encourage you. I know it's hard. I know it's a lot of work. Self-development always is, but the light at the end of the tunnel is beautiful. Whether that is you build a life for yourself that you love and you remain single, or whether that is you remain single and then you find someone who walks in who is absolutely perfect and you finally see, wow, this is what I needed in my last relationship, but I wasn't ready yet. This is what I was looking for the whole time, but because I didn't have another frame of reference, that last relationship looked amazing to me because it was the best I'd ever had. But now this is the best I've ever had, and this is so much healthier than I ever realized, because all of my conflict can be resolved instead of me just burying it for the sake of maintaining the relationship. So I just really wanted to share that lesson with you all, because I know struggling with an ex is something that a lot of us go through, and it is really challenging and can be really confusing. Like, why can't I just, you know, move on from this? There's a reason you can't move on from that, and that's possibly to do with codependency. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys, and all the best.